To sacrifice means to give up something valuable for the sake of something else. Today we pause to reflect on the greatest sacrifice of all, Jesus giving up his life on a Roman cross for our sake. I am Rob West. The atoning sacrifice of Jesus on the cross opened the gates of heaven to all who believe and accept him as their Savior. None of what we do here would make any sense without that event. We'll talk about that today, and then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's appropriate during this Easter season to reflect on the big picture of our Christian faith. Sometimes we just have our noses to the grindstone, so to speak, and we can lose sight of why we're here and how much God has done for us. You know, whether you're in a season of prosperity or facing hardships, you have to remember that God is still on the throne and that your circumstances haven't caught him by surprise. His plan for the redemption of humankind is still on track. Of course, on Easter Sunday, Christians everywhere will rejoice in the resurrection of Christ, who conquered death and made a way to restore our relationship with God. But sometimes in that celebration, we might forget why Jesus had to die in the first place. The fact is, humankind is completely corrupted by sin. The rebellion that stains our heart says, "I can choose for myself what is right and wrong. I don't need God." God's word confirms our sin nature. Job 15:16 declares that man is abominable and corrupt, one who drinks injustice like water. 1 Kings 8:46 quotes Solomon saying, "There is no one who does not sin." The Apostle John warns in 1 John 1:8 that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. God's word in both the Old and New Testaments makes it very clear that sin has a price. God's law requires that those who break it be punished, and that the punishment should be terrifying, an eternity in hell. Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." And Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Sin separates us from a holy God, so mankind needed someone sinless to do what we couldn't do for ourselves, pay the price, which is death. In his love and mercy, God met our need by sending his only Son to die in our place. Jesus, who is God made man, took our sins upon himself and carried them to the cross. His blood paid for our sins. The good news in this familiar story is that it doesn't end with the cross and a grave. On Good Friday, we commemorate the love of God in sending his Son to pay for our sin. We mourn with his followers who knelt at the foot of the cross in grief for their loss. And then there's Easter. On Easter, we celebrate the victory of the resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead, conquering death once and for all. In John 11:25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die." So we thank God for our present circumstances, good or bad, and his continued provision. But we must also have a deep sense of gratitude for God's sacrificial love. We can also live in joyful hope of eternity because of his resurrection. Thanks to Jesus, our debt is stamped paid in full, and our relationship with the Lord is restored forever. So as you contemplate the amazing love of God today, ask yourself this: how can you put your gratitude for Christ's sacrifice into action? I believe one of the best ways is by keeping your eyes and ears open for opportunities to help those around you who may be suffering. Ask God to show you those in your church and the wider community who might need your help. God's word repeatedly tells us to help others in need. Just look at Galatians 6:2, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now, it can be difficult to be generous when your finances seem uncertain, but we know that giving breaks the power of money over us, so it's the perfect antidote to our financial fears and anxieties. Giving is also a source of joy because of the promise of heaven, Jesus experienced joy in his sacrifice, and we can experience it in ours. You see, Christians should act differently than non-believers, and now is the perfect time to show just how different we can be as we reflect God's love in a broken and confused world. So with gratitude, joy, and generosity, that's how we should respond during this Easter season and beyond. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Much more to come just around the corner, including your questions. Stay with us.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. If you look at your wall calendar, you'll see Good Friday on today's date. Most calendars note this important day, but not everyone can answer what's so good about Good Friday. Even though it was the most tragic day in history, Good Friday is good, and that's because of what Jesus accomplished. On the cross, he paid the price for our sin, saved those who believe from eternal death. Jesus used his very last breath to say, "It is finished." And John 19 tells us with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. He finished the work his Father had given him, and it resulted in our sins forgiven. That is why this Friday is so very good. See Jesus more clearly through time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. This is the program where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices, help you make decisions in light of God's Word as you're a steward of God's resources. All right, we're going to head to the phones. Hart, you've been waiting very patiently there in Indiana. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm 42 months away from retirement, and cool. I've been investing in my company 401k for a long, long time. I'm about 70% to aggressive to moderate to aggressive growth, about 35 in the S&P 500 and about another 35 in the large caps, and only have about 10% in like T-bill bonds and that. So my question is, I have plenty of money put in the bank for 3 months of emergency, and I have 6 months worth or so ready to liquidate out of the company stock if I needed to. My question is, how much – I'm looking to rebalance my 401k, and I'm wondering how how much should I take out of what I've earned in the stock market and put it into safer government type bonds or T-bills?
Yeah, it's a great question, Hart. What are you, like 62?
Actually, I'm 57. We get out. With 30 years of service, we can retire at 60.
Oh, wow. Okay. And what are you planning to do at that point?
I have a summer house that I own outright, and I'm planning on building a barn out there. And woodworking is kind of a hobby of mine, so I was looking to maybe start a side business doing that, and doing a lot of fishing and traveling.
Love it.
You know, things of that nature.
Okay, great. I would say you are probably a little aggressive at this point, just given your proximity to retirement. This has worked in your favor because bonds have just been so lousy over the last couple of years, unusually bad, just given how fast interest rates went up and how many consecutive rate cuts rate increases we had. But we're in a period where all that's going to turn around. And so this is a good time, I think, for you to rebalance. I would say as a guy who's approaching 60, 57, probably somewhere around 50-50 makes sense. 50% stock, 50% bonds. And obviously within that, you'd either have to make a decision yourself or hire an advisor to figure out kind of what is the right mix of investments. I'd stay in the bond side, probably on the shorter end of the durations, but you'll get great yield and you'll have appreciation as those interest rates come down. And the stock side, you'll build that out. If you wanted to be a little more aggressive, at this point, just given everything you're saying and what you've got, if you wanted to be up as high as 60% in stocks, you could. But I'd say probably 50, is probably the right number. And then as you get older, every decade, you'd probably want to put another 10% toward the bonds and 10% less toward stocks. And then if you wanted an allocation to precious metals, maybe take 5% out of each one. But I think this is a good time for you to rebalance. And that way, if we get into a recession later this year, if, we skirt by this one, but we hit one later, a few years down the road, you're not at the risk of the market so much where you've got the volatility that you're not looking for in this season of life as you're approaching, your non-working years. So I think if it were me, I'd begin to move in that direction.
Awesome. I thank you for the confirmation. I've been praying about this for a while.
Cool. That sounds great. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say thank you so much. I'm very much into analysis and research, and sometimes I get stuck in that mode.
Yes, I get it. No doubt about it. And you can second guess yourself all day long in stock market and investing decisions. So no problem. Well, hopefully that's giving you some clarity, Hart. Thanks for calling and all the best to you. I love the idea of what you're talking about. Let's go to Wildwood, Florida. Lynn, go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. I have some dental work that needs to be done. The total amount is $5,500, but I'm only going to do $3,500 this year and then hopefully can wait till next year to do the rest.
Yeah.
But my question is, the dentist said they need payment up front, and so they gave me this healthcare credit card information so I can take out a loan, but I don't want to do that. Their interest rate is so high, so it's 17.90. And so I thought, well, what if I take $2,500 out of my savings? I have a 401k, but I don't want to touch that. And then still pay $1,000 to this credit card until the insurance pays their portion.
Okay. So how much are you going to get some back, or how does that work?
From the credit card, it's no interest if it's paid within 6 months' time.
Oh, I see. Okay. And what about the insurance? How does that factor into this?
Well, the insurance will pay $1,000, but the dentist requires the full payment up front.
Okay.
Got it. All right. So you would be able to pay that $1,000 back before the interest kicks in once the insurance gives you their portion.
Exactly.
Okay. And what would that leave you when you pulled the $2,500 out? What would that leave you in savings?
Well, I have almost $1,000.
You'd have $1,000 left?
Yeah.
Okay. And what do you spend on a monthly basis?
Well, I'm 68 and on Social Security. I retired probably 5 or 6 years ago on disability. Okay. So my Social Security now is, it's not very much.
Okay. And so do you have any margin? I mean, would you be able to start if you didn't have any debt because the insurance pays the $1,000, would you have something you could begin putting back into savings every month?
Well, that was my thought. Instead of paying like a credit card payment,
yeah,
then I could make a payment to my savings account.
Yeah. And what would you think just on a typical month you'd have left to put back into savings?
Well, probably about $150.
Okay. Yeah. I'm on board with this. I certainly don't want you to pay 17.9%, and I don't like you pulling out of the 401k if you don't have to. So I would just say a few things. Number one, I like the plan. Number two, I would really keep track of your expenses and I know you're living modestly, so I'm not saying that's not happening, but just be really careful so you can really try to get that $150 a month going back into savings so we can get that built up. Number three, let's do whatever pre-authorization work you need to do so there's no surprises with the insurance. You know, make sure that they've committed in advance to pay this and there's not any surprises. And then lastly, I would not be afraid to negotiate with the dentist. They may not be willing, but they may. If they know you're coming out of pocket $2,500, you know, they may be willing to give you a discount. And so I'd at least ask and just say, listen, I'm going to do $3,500 worth of dental work. I'm paying $2,500 of this out of pocket. Is there any way you can, you know, knock $500 off? They may be willing to do that. So I would at least ask the question. But even if they're not, Lynn, I'm on board with this plan, okay?
Okay. Well, very good. Thanks so much, Rob.
All right. God bless you. We'll take a quick break and back with much more on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Stick around.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Faith Fi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Our team is not here today, so let me just remind you not to call in, but I will also remind you that we have some great questions that we lined up in advance, so you're not going to want to miss today's broadcast. Before we head to the phones, though, a quick email. These come to us at askrob@faithfi.com. This one comes to us from Tom. He writes, I'm 67 years old. God has blessed my business. I have investments and no debt. I'm concerned about the possibility that the government will take over banks and investment institutions. Would it be wise to buy gold as a part of my portfolio? Well, it's never a bad idea to have gold in your portfolio. It's a hedge against inflation. It's a store of value. It's a way to diversify with another asset class beyond stocks, bonds, and real estate. But I would say only to a maximum of 10% of your portfolio. Here's the way I like to think about that. Perhaps that first 5% is what we call your buy and hold or your buy for life portion. And I might consider buying that with physical gold, that first 5% where you'd buy either gold bars or with gold coins, where you're buying not much more than the spot price of the gold and you're holding that forever. Perhaps you pass that down to your heirs. If you want to go up to 10%, I'd say perhaps consider with that next 5% using an ETF like GLD or one of the tracking ETFs that tracks the price of gold. I wouldn't be concerned about the government taking over banks and brokerages. That's not going to happen, in my opinion. We appreciate you writing to us. All right, we're going to dive into our calls today. Let's begin in Dallas, Texas. Patricia, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, I just have a CD that is maturing at the end of the month, and I don't know whether to roll it over at a less percentage or go with another institution at a higher percentage. I can get 5.26 for 15 months, or I can get 5.50 at another institution for a year. Mm-hmm. It's like $50,000 in a CD. So I really don't know whether, is it worth it to move it or just leave it alone?
Yeah, and what would the rate be, Patricia, where it is currently if you roll it over?
It'll be 5.26 for 15 months.
So we're talking an extra quarter of a point, is that right?
Right, but it's also 3 months more also.
Okay. Okay, so one is a year and one's 15 months, correct?
Right.
Okay. Right. All right. Yeah. So obviously, I mean, it's a matter of, you know, a few hundred dollars. You're going to get, you know, at 5.5, you know, you'll earn $2,750 over the next year. At 5.25, you're going to earn $2,625. So we're talking, you know, less than $200. You know, that's not an insignificant sum of money, but there is a hassle factor here of you having to switch to a new institution, open the account, transfer the money. So, you know, I think it comes down to, obviously, the liquidity is number one. You know, you can go with a 15-month or you can go with a 12-month. I think that just comes down to, do you have reason to believe you're going to need that money before 15 months? And obviously that would play into it. And then second is, what is the very best rate you can get? So the question is it worth $150 or so for you, you know, over the next year for you to be able to, you know, have to move this to another institution? And what would you say to that?
I would probably say it's going to be a hassle to fill out all that paperwork.
Yeah. I would agree. Now, you can do it all online if you're comfortable with that, and they make it pretty easy these days. But you're right. There is the hassle factor. So, you know, 5.25 is still a great rate. You already have a relationship there. Obviously, it's worked out well for you. So what you may want to do is just stay right there and not think twice about it. Roll it over for another year to 15 months, whatever works for you. And, you know, then you can revisit at that point. The only other consideration you may want to, you know, take into account is there's no question that a year from now rates will be lower than they are today. So the only other consideration would be whether you want to go ahead and lock it up longer than that. So you, for instance, you can get 5% for 2 years, you know, at some banks right now. And so that may be another option, you know, assuming we think that rates are going to be a good bit lower, you know, this time next year. So that would be the only other consideration I would throw out. But bottom line is, if you're happy with your credit union, it's probably not worth moving over a quarter of a point.
Well, and the other question is, if I leave it in there, I can do another deal for 7 months at 5.45. But then after that 7 months, then I don't know what the rate will be.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would probably be better off to leave it alone. Is that right?
I think that's probably true. Yes, ma'am. Well, listen,
okay,
I appreciate you calling today, Patricia. Thanks for listening to the program. If we can help you in any other way in the future, don't hesitate to reach out. May the Lord bless you. We're going to go to Sebring, Ohio. Mike, go ahead, sir.
Take my call. My question is, I'm getting ready to retire probably like the end of March, and my 401k right now, I have 5% being put into it. Should I increase that to 25-30% so that I can maximize it and get that money into that 401k at this time, or should I just keep it at a lower rate?
I see. Yeah. So you're just wondering, should you front load it so you've got it working for you longer? Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, you certainly could do that. I mean, it's obviously got to go in through salary. Excuse me. It has to go in through salary deferral, but you do have the option to work with your HR department, your controller, whoever that is, to adjust that percentage. And for 2024, you can put in $23,000 unless you're over the age of 50, and then you could put in even more. And I would agree, all things being equal, I'd rather have it in sooner rather than later so it can be working for you over the balance of the year. So I'm on board with that strategy. I think the key is look at what is the total I'm looking to put in for the year and just make sure that by the end of the year you have that much in. It's a good idea, Mike. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
Many in the Middle East are going through horrific circumstances and are seeking refuge in Lebanon. Heart for Lebanon is bringing them hope. And now you can help.
We endured shelling and hunger. We witnessed death everywhere.
$116 brings emergency supplies and the hope that only comes through the gospel.
I want to spend the rest of my life telling people about Jesus and his salvation.
Give now at faithfi.com/Lebanon or call 888-201-5577.
Today's Issues is American Family Radio's flagship program featuring AFA President Tim Wildman.
They're going to deny this till the Lord comes back.
Right.
And other staff and friends of the American Family Association.
Did they leak this? Was it intentional? Was it an accident? We want more answers.
It's a part of history. You know, we need to know.
Today's Issues, with the help of American Family News, making sense of the issues of the day. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
So for God to speak is for God to engage in self-revelation. We only know God because God has condescended to speak to us.
The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that answers many of the common objections about the Bible's reliability. The film equips believers to confidently base their lives on the power of God's Word. It's available at streaming.afa.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
God owns it all. We're stewards of His resources, which makes money a tool to accomplish His purposes. Hi, I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, looking at our financial decisions through the lens of a biblical worldview. That means going to the source, God's Word, to draw our principles and thoughts related to handling His money. Let's go to Indiana. Hi, Velma. Thanks for calling. How can I help?
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to know that I listen to your program all the time.
I'm so glad.
I'm learning a lot from you.
Very good.
Thank you. So my question is, I want to open a high-yield savings account. And in one of your program, you told in your program that look in a bank rate institution choose on which bank offer a good rate.
Yes.
And Capital, but I also heard you mention about Capital One is a good company to go to, but then when I look at bank rate, Capital One only offers 4 point something, and the other banks offer 5 point something. So I was wondering if I can trust the other bank.
Yeah, it's a great question, Velma, and I appreciate your kind remarks about the program. I'm so glad you're learning as you're listening, and you're enjoying what you're hearing. I think the key here is bankrate.com is a great option. There are others. NerdWallet would be another. But I would, as long as something has FDIC insurance and it gets a fairly highly rated using their 5-star rating system, I would be comfortable with you using any of those online banks. In the past, I had given a list of two or three different options for banks that were typically on the higher end of the yields. I don't do that anymore just because it changes so often. And, you know, I'd rather you just go through and look at who has the best rates right now and make a decision as you explore each of these. You know, many of them have pros and cons, and, you know, you want to find the one that's the best fit for you. But yeah, I think the best approach is just what you described, Velma. I wouldn't automatically go to Capital One by any means. I would go to bankrate.com, check out who has the highest rates, look at their rating out of the 5-star system, and then you can make a decision from there, okay?
And then as long as they are FDIC
insured, right? Yes, ma'am.
And their rate doesn't change, or will it change yearly? You know?
It does. It does change. So with a CD, a certificate of deposit, you're locking in that rate for a period of time, whatever the term is on the CD. With a high yield savings account, it can change every day. So it's just going to move with interest rates. And so I think the key is just recognize that we're in a high interest rate environment right now. As I said to the previous caller, the Federal Reserve has already indicated rates are coming down this year. They mentioned as many as six times. We'll see. Obviously, with inflation continuing to prove a little sticky and the labor market being as strong as it is, we may see a few less than that. But the bottom line is the rates are going to be coming down. And these high-yield savings account will come down with the Fed funds rate, and there is no guarantee on that. So it will move with interest rates, okay?
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You are welcome, Velma. Thank you for your call today. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Illinois. Hi, Megan. Go ahead.
Hello, Rob. Thank you so much for your program. I listen when I'm able, and I appreciate you taking my question.
Sure.
So I recently inherited an annuity. My mom passed, and it was a co-inheritance with my brother. And in the paperwork, it just gives two options, one lump sum with, of course, a tax penalty, and the other was a five-year plan with less of a penalty. But there was no option given to just leave the annuity in for the life of the term of the annuity. And I was wondering if that were an option, how would I go about being able to find that out with the company?
Yeah. Well, you really need to contact the company. Have you talked to them at all about your options?
I haven't. My brother has, but he's not gotten an answer. He asked that question about how much time was left and if we could leave it in. So,
all right. Do you know if it was a qualified annuity or a non-qualified annuity?
It's a non-qualified annuity contract.
Okay, very good. Yeah, typically what happens, and again, you're going to need to nail this down with the insurance company, and I would get your CPA involved in this as well. First of all, there are no inheritance taxes, but you're going to pay taxes on any of the gains as it comes out. But typically, with a non-qualified annuity, you would either follow what's called the five-year rule, where it's distributed out over 5 years, or the life expectancy rule, where you would take it out over your life expectancy, and they would want you to do one of the two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there one that's preferable to another? Would the five-year plan make more sense so I could invest it in another option, or would it matter?
Well, a lot of it is going to come down to what your current situation is and also your taxes. Because if you can spread it out over a longer period of time and you don't need the money, then it continues to grow and you're not going to, add to your taxable income. But given that this is a non-qualified annuity, you're just going to pay income taxes on the earnings when they're withdrawn. So a lot of it's going to come down to how much is there in the way of earnings, and then how quickly do you pull it out? Now, if you have either a need for the money or you want to redirect it and invest it elsewhere, then that would lean more toward, you getting that money out and redeploying it somewhere else. But it really comes down to what do you have a need for that income now? And or do you want to redeploy it somewhere else? Do you have a better option for investing it that might perform better than what the annuity would bring? Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, it's an excellent. Yeah. I don't need the money. So I guess my next step would be to look to see if my brother and I just took the lump sum, if it would benefit us. Because I don't think it also mentions that both of us have to agree to the same option, I believe.
Okay. Yeah.
So the good news is we're able to probably agree on an option. So I guess the next step would be to see if it would benefit us to invest the amount somewhere else versus just leaving it in. Okay.
Right. Okay. And a lot of it's going to come down to whether you have the option to do the five-year rule, which just means you have to get the entire balance out within 5 years of the owner's death. Or you have the ability to do the life expectancy option. But it sounds like in either case, you're probably going to get it out, if not in 5 years, much sooner than that. But given that you all have to agree, I think, yeah, it's a matter of sitting down and saying, what would we like to do? And then getting with your CPA and the insurance company just to find out what your options are, what the tax implications are, and then put that plan in motion. So I know it can get complicated here, Megan, but it sounds like you're making the right steps here. We appreciate you listening to the program and calling in today. God bless you. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We've got some great questions lined up. So when we come back, we'll talk to Claire in Elgin. She wants to talk about a timeshare. Jim in Cleveland's wondering about Social Security and his taxes. And then Nick in Indianapolis has an inheritance he wants to talk about. That and more right after this.
Many call this week Easter week, that time when we remember the death and resurrection of Christ on the cross. And from the Old Testament, there's a parallel with the Jewish Passover. I'm Charles Morris. Join me with David Wolin for Haven Today this week and a series called Jesus and the Feasts of Israel.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
Have you downloaded the Faith by app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So, why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Here in our final segment today, let me remind you once again, we're away from the studio, so don't call in, but we lined up some great questions. So let's head right back to the phones to Elgin, Illinois. Hi, Claire. Go right ahead.
Hey, Rob, I'm so excited to hear your thoughts on this. My father gave us a timeshare probably 20 or 25 years ago, and we enjoyed it. We don't want it anymore. So once we paid, like, I don't know, hundreds of dollars for a company to get rid of it, they didn't get rid of it. Another time we paid $5,000, guaranteed they will get rid of your timeshare or you will get your money back, and they didn't either. But they did refer us to a lawyer. And the lawyer said, listen, you don't even have a mortgage on this thing. Just stop paying it. Just stop paying the maintenance fee, which we did. And it doesn't feel good to me, but I don't know what else to do.
Yeah. Wow, Claire, this is a tough one. And I know we're excited about hearing one of my thoughts. Unfortunately, I don't have a whole lot of thoughts because it really does come down to contract law here, and I really can't weigh in on that. You know, at the end of the day, I mean, you inherited this. You know, you wouldn't typically, you can't be enforced to accept an inherited timeshare. You could refuse to accept it, and the estate would have to pay any fees or penalties associated with stopping payments. But in this case, you know, you all have had it. You've been using it and paying on it for some time. Given, you know, the way by which you came into this, given that it was through inheritance, I realize that's, you know, what makes this a bit of an unusual situation, despite the fact that you've had it, you've been using it and paying on it for some time. So now, could you just walk away? Ultimately, that is a legal question. And so I would, you know, you've obviously had a lawyer that's told you that you could stop paying the maintenance fee and there'd be no recourse. You know, there's the legal side of it. And then, you know, you raised just kind of the conviction side of it where you said it doesn't feel good. And at the end of the day, that's between you and the Lord. So, you know, I would kind of, you know, pray through this. Number one, you and your husband talk about it. You get the counsel, the attorney. Ultimately, you're going to need to make the call, both on the conviction side as well as whether you have any legal responsibility on this whatsoever. But it's a bit of a difficult situation, just kind of given all the pieces and parts of how you came into it. You know, the other piece that I would say is, and I hate to hear that you've gone through this, but it just underscores what I've heard so many times. And let's let this be a warning to others who are listening today, that there is just so much fraud and folks taking advantage of others in this space, in the timeshare space. And that's why we've never found anyone that we would be comfortable referring our listeners to be able to exit a timeshare situation, just because I've never found anybody that can do it realistically. And there's a lot of unmet expectations and broken promises. You guys have experienced that firsthand twice. I hate to hear that, but let's just let that be a good warning to others, just to really be careful before you go into any of these contracts that promise to do things that really they can't do because you're legally bound, you know, and obligated to these. So I wish I had more definitive advice for you, Claire. Unfortunately, I think you're doing the right things and you need to get the best counsel you can get legally, and then you and your husband need to pray it through and make that decision.
Okay. Thank you for your help. All right.
You're welcome, Claire. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. Let's go to Cleveland. Hi, Jim. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? I really appreciate your program, and thank you for addressing my question. I'm 65. I'm going to be retiring in a couple of months, and when I looked at my projected monthly check for Social Security, I noticed it didn't notify me of any earnings that have been calculated for 2023. So I didn't know if it would affect the amount that I get if I filed for Social Security before I filed my 2023 taxes.
I see. No, there won't be any bearing there whatsoever. So 2023 is essentially closed as far as income is concerned. And so taking Social Security now won't affect that. And if you're entitled to any increases, those will come, you know, when you have the ability or when, you know, that gets added, regardless of when you take it. The only thing that waiting would affect is, you know, every month you essentially get 1/12 of 8% by delaying taking Social Security in an automatic increase up to age 70. And so obviously taking your benefit check or starting to receive benefits is going to freeze those increases. But anything that would come by way of you adding, you replacing one of your high 35 years through earnings in a more recent year, or a COLA adjustment, cost of living adjustment, those are going to happen automatically regardless of when you take the benefit.
I see. Okay, perfect. Well, that answers my question. I deeply appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, Jim. Thanks for your call today. Let's go to Indianapolis. Hi, Nick. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for taking the call. Just had a quick question. Me and my wife just inherited some money from passing of my father, and we, we're doing pretty well. We're able to make payments on our home currently, pay the bills. So the extra monies, we're just kind of wanting to see what your advice would be to maybe invest it or, you know, anything that to help grow the money or put it in a safe spot to see a return on it. So
absolutely, Nick. Do you mind me asking how much you received?
It was around $40,000.
All right. Very good. And just to confirm what I'm hearing, you have your emergency fund, you don't have any consumer debt, and you feel like you're on track with your long-term retirement savings?
Yeah. Yeah, we got a Roth, a 529. We got two two beautiful daughters who were awesome. Starting a college plan for. And,
cool.
Yeah, I got an emergency. And so, you know, it's just
all right.
trying to figure out where to put it.
And anything else besides the Roth IRAs in terms of retirement? Do you have 401ks at work or anything like that?
No 401ks. Just, I have a Roth and then my wife has a Roth. So we got two accounts there.
Yeah.
Yep,
all right.
Put in two monthly.
Okay. And are you self-employed or are you W-2 employee?
W-2.
Okay.
Both of us.
And is there a 401k option, even though you're not putting anything in it, or your companies just don't offer 401ks?
They do offer, but they don't match. So we kind of met with our financial advisor and he recommended, since they don't match, Roth was a better option for kind of our situation.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the challenge with the Roth is you just get to that contribution limit pretty quickly. So, you know, this year the Roth IRA contribution limit has gone up a little bit, but it's still only $7,000 per person if you're under age 50 and 14 between you and your wife. But given that, you know, really you probably need to be putting away 10 to 15% of your income, most folks will find that, you know, they need to be able to put away a little bit more than, you know, $7,000 a year in order to reach their retirement goal. So if you've done some planning and you believe that, you know, that's enough, that's great. If you want to be able to put more away, that's where even a non-matched 401k can be great. The key is just to make sure you're on track for what you ultimately need to save. And if you've started early enough, you may be perfectly fine, you know, doing just the $14,000 this year for the Roth IRA. You know, beyond that, you know, if you feel like you're on track to do what you need to do there, then obviously other options would be, you know, number one, do you have a mortgage on your current property?
Yes. Yep. Still okay. I have a mortgage. We actually moved over the summer. So.
Okay. And what's the, so you have a new 30-year mortgage that you just started?
Correct.
All right. And what's the interest rate on that since you moved pretty recently?
It's around 6%.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, that's a guaranteed 6% return on your money, anything you put toward the house. So that's one option, is you could accelerate that payoff. Number two is if you don't have a full 6 months expenses in your emergency fund, you could shore that up. Three would be, you know, I would look at just any giving desires that, you know, the Lord has placed on the heart of you and or your wife or together as a couple. And then four would just be to say, you know, let's look at other long-term savings opportunities. So perhaps, you know, if you, by fully funding your Roth, it doesn't give you the ability because you're, you know, you need the rest of your income that you have coming in. One option would be go ahead and start contributing to the 401k and then just replace that money that you were counting on, because now your check is going to be lower coming from your employer. Replace that with money coming out of the $40,000, which in a sense moves it from one bucket to the other. So by spending it down in relationship to how much you're now putting in your 401k, which you weren't previously, you're systematically moving that into a tax-deferred environment. But that's going to come down to ultimately your retirement planning with your advisor, you know, that will help you determine whether you're on track, ahead, or behind with your retirement savings through the Roth. If you're on track, you know, I'm not necessarily asking you to save more than you need to. It's not about just accumulate as much as you can. It's really more about creating a plan, praying over it, and then following through on that plan. Does all that make sense, though?
Yeah, no, that's helpful. And we do hope to you know, give some to the church and whoever heart leads us. And I appreciate that feedback and advice. So
okay, good. Yeah, and I think, I mean, it'd be one thing if you had that 2 or 3% mortgage. Given that that's up around 6, you know, the amount you're going to save over a 30-year mortgage by prepaying a portion of it now, I mean, there's a lot of savings there that that you will ultimately cut down on by sending an extra principal reduction payment. So now, God bless you, Nick. Thanks for your call today. That's going to do it for us. I'm grateful for my team, Devin Patrick, Robert Youngblood, and Jim Henry couldn't do it without him. I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.